What's up? This is Dave from Movies On Up. We'll see Ryan after the theme song. Old school episode today. We're doing just news and trailers. Or as Wiz Khalifa would say, news and trailers, news and trailers. Theme song, take it away.
What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 37. Watch for the signs. That is our tagline for this week. Watch for the signs. Listen for our excellent podcast. An old school episode with my old school co-host. I'm Ryan. He is?
I'm Dave.
He's still Dave. We still are Movies On Up. We are still doing this tagline contest. So if you think you know what it is, again, watch for the signs. You can mail your guest to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet at Dave. At Movies On Up, let him know what your guess is, or leave it on our Facebook, which you can find at facebook.com/moviesonup. If you are correct, and if we choose you to be the winner, you will win some sort of a prize pack consisting of something from Dave and I.
Yep.
Yep. Dave agrees. The motion carries, I guess. So there it is. If you think you know, watch the signs. Let us know. The signs, according to last week, would point to not a very good week in the box office coming up this week. Not a whole lot out in wide release. Just the three movies, Broken City, The Last Stand, and Mama. I cannot remember. I think we lumped them all together with the over-under.
We did all over-under 14, I think, for any of them. You went under on all of them.
I sure did.
I was way off. I said I thought people would be idiots and Arnold would bring some money in with Last Stand. Luckily, I was wrong. It didn't bring in $14 million. It brought $6.2 million for ninth place. But Mama, I said there's a chance. I said it wouldn't surprise me, but I still ultimately went over. It doubled it, $28 million. $28.4 million for Guillermo del Toro's Mama, opening in number one. Number two, Zero Dark Thirty. So who stars in both of those movies? Jessica Chastain.
Oh, yeah.
She stars in your number one and your number two movies. And she's not really a household name yet.
Not yet.
Back-to-back Oscar nominations, number one and number two movies in the... She's getting there. Number three, Silver Linings Playbook, still cashed in on that Oscars buzz, plus 114% from last week.
Which was up from the week before.
Which was up from the week before, but here's the thing, is it opened in 1,700 more theaters. So it brought in $10.7 million. It's sitting at $54 million after... Technically after 10 weeks, but really only about three in wide release. And then Broken City opened in number five with $8.2 million. Like, generally, if you have stars like Mark Wahlberg and Russell Crowe and you're opening in January, they just kind of want to forget about it.
Yeah, I think, you kind of mentioned last week that it was being marketed incorrectly. I just think it wasn't really being marketed.
I said it was incorrectly and not enough.
Okay, yeah, so then I do agree, and I think that the showing there at the box office.
So $8.2 million on a 35 budget, so. But other Oscar things, Lincoln actually went down. Lincoln fell out of the top 10 for the first time. It fell 13%. Life of Pi saw a 25% increase. It added about 500 screens. Argo added another 80%. It also increased some screens. And then Wreck-It Ralph pretty much doubled what it made last week when it got added to some more screens, too. So,
and was it this week or the last week that Beast of the Southern Wild got another kind of wide release? I know it was – I remember reading about it on the internet, and I get confused.
It got added to 71 theaters this week, but really didn't – bounce off of that buzz because it brought in, it was on 71 theaters total, 149,000. So even with all the buzz, it only brought in 2,000 per screen.
Yeah, not so good. So,
but
maybe
they also didn't really market.
No, they hadn't. It was just one of those things. I thought maybe it's this week that it's kind of getting another wide release, quote unquote. But we have a movie podcast. You'd think one of us would know that. But nope, we don't, because we've both already seen the movie.
A while ago.
Yeah, I really don't care what it does. And it's one that you should check out. You should figure out if it's going to get a wide release and then do your best to see it, because you probably won't be disappointed. Anything else we want to hit with the box office?
Nothing really sticks out. No limiteds did much. I'm done. I'm over it.
Fair enough. I guess the thing to take away from this week at the box office, in addition to some of the Best Picture nominees still making a bit of money at the bank, was, as Dave mentioned, the number one and the number two films, proving that Jessica Chastain can earn the bank. Mama, proving that if you slap Guillermo del Toro's name on a horror movie, folks will go see it. I imagine folks will go see this movie, and I imagine it'll actually turn out to be a better movie if he, in fact, directs the film, which he will do for Crimson Peak, which is rumored to be sort of a throwback horror movie that will, of course, be directed by Del Toro. He's been kind of wanting to do this for a while, a bit of a passion project for him. What is not a rumor is that the film will star Pacific Rimmer Charlie Hunnam and now Emma Stone, set to begin production in 2014. That's February 2014.
Now I'm excited. I love Del Toro. I want him back on horror side. I like Charlie Hunnam. The whole Guillermo del Toro name on horror movies, though, that $28 million for Mama, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark only made 24 in its entire run, which that's why I said last week he doesn't have the biggest track record of just throwing his name on it, because even The Orphanage was only about $7 million. So, So Mama seemed like, I don't know, a fluke, but it good for Del Toro. It's putting his name back in the horror thing with a hit, and I'm all for this.
Yeah, I think personally, I'm not a huge fan of his. I like Kronos. No one really seems to mention that one ever, but I liked it. And I think that, you know, when he directs the horror movies, they tend to be a little bit better. This one does sound like it's going to be pretty neat with what few details we know about it. The throwback horror aspect of it kind of excites me, a bit like House of the Devil, which was sort of a throwback horror movie. I didn't really like that one all that much, but I'd be interested to see what Del Toro could do. I like the cast. I like Charlie Hunnam well enough.
Emma Stone. I'd like to see her in this kind of role. I just go back to our October episodes where we talked directors, and I said everything Del Toro directs feels like a horror movie.
I agree. So it'll be good to see him actually stick with that genre here for a little bit. Paramount and Bad Robot are no dopes. They're getting the wheels moving on a Lance Armstrong movie, and that's no lie. The studio is optioning Juliette Marquardt's book, Cycle of Lies, The Fall of Lance Armstrong. According to Deadline, the book has yet to be written by the New York Times writer, but the studio seems to be moving quickly to take advantage of the story's relatively short life cycle. And for those of you keeping score at home, that is no less than 4 Lance Armstrong puns within the story. You're welcome.
Like, who cares? Do we want a movie of this? Does anybody want a movie of this? Like, the people who don't give a fuck about cycling don't give a fuck. The people who loved him and do give a fuck about cycling are crushed by this. Like, how do you can't paint him without you? We go back to the Joe Paterno movie with Al Pacino that we talked about a while ago. How do you can't, you know, from the beginning that you're not rooting for this guy. How do you sell that story? Unless you paint it as Lance is the bad guy from the very beginning, and, you know, you cover the him threatening to ruin people that wanted to expose the truth. Like, that's the most interesting stuff, is not the doping and stuff, but how fucking pure evil he was to hide the doping. That's the shit that's interesting, but nobody's talking about any of that stuff. Like, I mean, it was fucking some mafioso type shit just to keep his name clean. You can't take that approach because nobody will watch that.
I don't know.
And that's the only approach that is any bit relevant, like, interesting.
I think after, not that I watched the Oprah interview because I don't know where the fuck Owen is and I don't care. But after that, it seemed like it was, she asked him some good questions. She didn't completely let him off the hook, but they didn't delve into too much of him, the scumbag. And if this book comes out where he is more of a scumbag, it could give someone who maybe didn't follow the story, just saw the interview on Oprah, or just read about it, the excerpts, you know, in the newspaper the following day, maybe that would give someone access to find out what a scumbag he was. So, I mean, I don't know that it's...
He was threatening people's lives and shit. Like, he was threatening to destroy people. And
he kind of did.
Yeah. So, like, that, okay, I would see that. I don't want to see the fall of Lance Armstrong. I want to see him painted as the fucking evil dude that he was and see that story that And then, okay, then it comes back to bite him in the ass. But I don't want to see him painted as a hero and then it all come crashing down, because I don't think he was ever this heroic. I mean, I'll never take away what he did. He brought a lot of awareness to cancer. He inspired millions and millions of people to go out and beat the cancer. I will never take that away from him. That's awesome of him. But he was, outside of that, he was never a hero.
I think what I'd like to see is maybe a bit of Lance Armstrong as a child, and then, you know, maybe we see him on his bike and getting to be the world's the greatest bicycler that the universe had ever seen, and then, you know, we see him just start do, I don't know, whatever, however you do the dope that he did, and it sounds like he did it in a lot of different ways, but we see that, and then he cuts off Samuel L. Jackson's arm, kicks him out a window, and then ends up getting burned amongst some fuzzy teddy bears.
By the time this is made, I just can't see it being, unless it's a Lifetime movie.
With Paramount behind it, I don't think it's going to be a Lifetime movie. But, I mean, if you're going to do it, you've got to do it. You've got to do it soon.
You've got to do it in 2 months.
Exactly.
If it's not a summer 2013 release, nobody gives a fuck.
Right. It's going to be a little too, it'll be dead, so to speak. Juno Temple, apparently, is a dame to kill for. Temple, along with Ray Liotta and Jeremy Piven, joined the cast of Sin City 2. That cast already includes, for those of you keeping score at home, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Mickey Rourke, Jessica Alba, Rosario Dawson, Jamie King, all back. Dennis Haysbert replacing the late Michael Clark Duncan, and Josh Brolin coming in for Clive Owen.
Also, Bruce Willis confirmed this week.
Oh, he was confirmed?
He is back.
Good.
So Hartigan's back.
Yeah, there was some question of whether or not he would be able to at the time that I read this story, so I'm glad. Glad to see he's back. A little bit of a bummer about Clive Owen not coming back.
Yeah, that's
I thought
the
he was
only
awesome.
Thing I don't like about that is because he was perfect in it.
Yeah.
I mean, Brolin?
Like Josh, he's good Brolin, too, yeah.
But I'd rather see Josh Brolin be used in another capacity,
sure,
other than just taking over for Clive Owen, who already nailed it. But
And Miho. They got a different Miho.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
that's fine.
I think it'll be Sin City.
Yeah.
It'll be more of the same, which isn't a knock.
No, definitely not. If we get, I
it
think
it has to be more of the same in order to work.
If we get more of the same, I will walk out of that theater completely jazzed and ready for Sin City.
And I hope it makes a shit ton of money. Like, I'm not as excited about it as you are, but the studio fucked this up. This movie should have been out
years ago,
but because Grindhouse failed, they got scared, and it's like they're not fucking related, you idiots. So I hope this makes a shit ton of money, because this could be the third or fourth one by now.
Yeah, it really should be. I mean, the story
should be at least three.
Yeah, the story is good. I mean, I can't imagine that people haven't seen Sin City yet. At least people listening to our podcast, I'm sure you guys know what's up. You've probably seen it. And I'm hoping that you're somewhere on the continuum, excited continuum between Dave and I, because I'm probably way too excited about it. But good actors, and it'll be some good storytelling. And shit on Rodriguez for directing Spy Kids and whatever. But, you know, the guy, he's hit or miss, I guess. But Sin City, I've got no reason to believe that he will forget how to do that movie, and it'll suck. One movie that I'm pretty sure will suck, however, and someone needs to go back in time and stop the writers of Shutter Island and Drive Angry from writing the new Terminator movie. Now, confirmed with the Governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger will appear in this and will say lines that, or whatever it is that he does to lines, that will be written by Leta. Is this Manti Te'o's girlfriend? Leta Kalagoudis, whose credits include the aforementioned Shutter Island and Abadaw, along with the Drive Angry writer and director, Patrick Lussier. They'll team up to take the first pass at T5, the film produced by Annapurna Pictures, who recently put out Zero Dark Thirty and Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. So you might think that despite the writers, at least initially, that this has a chance to be okay.
You know what? I'm not going to shit talk Drive Angry, because Drive Angry knew what it was and embraced it from the very, very beginning. But you can't do that with a Terminator. You can't make Terminator like Drive Angry was. Not saying he's a one-trick pony, but I don't know what he's capable of doing outside of that style. I just don't care about the movie. I haven't seen anything past 2, so I don't really care.
Actually, at this point, I have seen them all. Really, past 2, they haven't been very good. So you'd have to work pretty hard, essentially, to drag this franchise through the mud. It's already kind of been dragged through the mud. So I gotta believe that even with these writers, that somehow it's gonna end up being better than the last two. But hey, who knows? We'll have to see. Apparently, this one, it's still real early in the process, so we've probably got quite a while to wait to see what happens. And it's, was there any kind of news on what the scope of Schwarzenegger's involvement? We know he's going to be, but it didn't say that he's going to star. He's just going to be in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's a cameo, but that dude's getting old. Like, he looked older than shit.
In The Last Stand.
In Terminator 3.
Yeah.
And that was, good God, like 10 years ago. So, and he's playing an android. They really shouldn't get older, should they?
Unless he plays the human dude.
That the android was based off of?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. Maybe they'll age him like they did with Tron. That would be awesome. What also would be awesome, I'm getting some new Star Wars movies, and that's pretty rad. And if Warner Brothers has anything to say about it, Dave may be getting some new Gremlins. According to Vulture, the studio is in talks with Steven Spielberg and Amblin Entertainment to reboot Joe Dante's 1984 classic. No word on whether Dante would be back to direct, as it seems Spielberg's involvement, if any, would be limited to producer, as he was in 1984. So, Dave?
I kind of don't care if Dante's not on. And Dante wanted to do Gremlins 3 for the longest time, but studio wanted to CGI. He wanted to do puppets.
Right.
So, I'm with him. I mean, I've said it before, like, the multiple scenes, okay, do CGI, but the up close, I want the...
Gizmo needs to be a puppet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see this. There's a few ways this could go. It's either going to lose the fun and be a darker take on Gremlins, which I wouldn't be 100% against, but I don't really think you can throw Gizmo in there and throw away that marketing opportunity and just go dark with it. So it's going to need to be fun. I don't want it to go too fun and family friendly.
Is it going
to
be like, do you think, like Dark Knight Rises Gremlin style, you know what I mean? Where in that was still rated PG-13, so kids could still see it, but it was kind of darker.
No, I don't think it'll be dark at all. That's my fear.
Do you think
fear.
It's going to go the app? The
I think
way
it's
going to
go more friendly, more family friendly, because they are marketable. Like, you can give out Gizmo toys, and you can give out, and I don't think they're going to waste that on a legit, I mean, it's. I think it's PG-13 one way or the other, but...
Now, help me out here. The last one, the Gremlins, the original wasn't PG-13. It was PG, wasn't it?
It was one of the last movies that before PG-13 was
okay.
A thing. That and... I think that and Temple of Doom were the two that get credit for, like, oh, we need something between PG and R.
Yeah, okay.
So, it's one of the last PG. Had it been rated under today's standards, it would have been a PG-13.
And that was still kind of, there were still marketing tie-ins for the kids. I mean, 1984.
There were Gremlins 2 trading cards.
Okay. Because that, I mean, 84, that's the year I was born. So, I really don't have a lot of recollections of Gremlins in the theaters, but... I seem to recall that there were some Gremlins stuffed toys that you could get, and maybe that
toys,
was for new batch.
There were toys. There was, but you're talking a completely different world in 1984 than we're at now.
Tell me about it, Grandpa.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, Gremlins was considered like a family horror movie, kind of, but it got dark and it got scary. I don't think you can pull that off today now because kids are fucking pussies because their parents are fucking pussies.
But wouldn't their parents, essentially...
You,
like,
would think, but
you,
the fucking nut, this doesn't happen.
You are a parent of...
And I want to watch Gremlins with my kids.
Yes.
I will watch Gremlins with my kids this year.
And, like, if this comes out, you would take them to see that. So, I mean, the parents that you're calling pussies are the parents
that grew up on Gremlins.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe they wouldn't be pussies when it comes to this. I don't know. I don't have any kids. I'm just speculating. You're calling your own age group, your own demographic, pussies. And maybe you are, for the most part, but stuff like this, I gotta think there would be, you'd be able to let it slide. You'd want to see it in the theaters with your kids. You can give them the opportunity, much like you had when you were a kid.
Yeah. They gotta pull the tone right. It's gotta be a horror movie, but still also be funny. And I don't know that they can do that
without Joe Dante. I mean,
without Joe Dante, because they might try to throw somebody like fucking Eli Roth in there.
Oh, which... God. If they go Eli Roth, there's no fucking way that's PG-13.
I mean, him trying to, I wouldn't mind seeing, trying to tackle it. David Gordon Green.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's quite a few of those directors that just missed.
Or you know who actually might be perfect for it and ready to do like James a Gunn. Mainstream. James Gunn would be perfect.
Yeah.
I was thinking Ty West.
When you said, you know who it's going to be, that's the first name that came to my mind was, boy, I hope he doesn't say Ty West. Because I don't see it for him.
If you get a horror director that has a sense of humor instead of a non-horror director.
And that was always, you know, kind of the thing that really appealed to me about Dante's work is that he did have a sense of humor. So I liked that. I'm just not sure that maybe Ty West does. Maybe he's a hilarious guy. But it doesn't come across.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Gunn would be perfect.
Yeah.
And he could probably, he's got to do it for Guardians. So, I mean, he's going to at least have one PG-13 movie.
I mean, it's got potential. Yeah. I'd love to see it reinvented if it's done right.
And that's it.
I mean, this is...
You're okay with reboot, or would you rather see Gremlins 3?
It doesn't matter to me. It's same with Ghostbusters. I'm fine with a 3 or a reboot. Like, I'm not one of those that... Nothing will make me love Gremlins less.
Yeah.
Gremlins and Gremlins 2 are both probably top 10 movies of all time for me. No matter if you put out a fucking Nightmare on Elm Street quality remake of it, that will never take away how much I love those movies. So I don't really care. I'll go into it with an open mind. If it doesn't look good, I just won't see it. It's not going to change my life at all.
Right.
If it looks interesting, I'll watch it with an open mind. I feel the same way about Monster Squad. Like, I know you're anti-remake, but if they go about it, I'm all... I don't hate reboots and remakes. I hate lazy reboots and remakes. If you go and you do something with it that wasn't done the first time, that's fine. If you adapt it and put a new spin on it instead of just remaking it, that's where I have
it. Yeah, when they did that, speaking of James Gunn, when they did that with Dawn of the Dead, I thought it was brilliant. Loved it. But yeah, I agree when they just do shot-for-shot remakes of things, that does seem kind of silly, or repackaging it for a younger generation.
Is what this feels like it might be.
I guess it could be. And when you hear reboot, that's just kind of, oh, you know, kids are too young now, they won't have seen Gremlins. God forbid they pick up a goddamn DVD and just watch it.
It's on Blu-ray now.
Blu-ray, what the hell is that? But yeah, that's where I get angry. And I don't think that we need remakes as much as we just need people to say, hey, there was a goddamn great movie already done. So just go back and watch it. I mean, I still think it holds up.
Oh, it does. I could watch it every day the rest of my life and never complain. Like, either one of them. Like, because the second one's so different.
Yeah.
And that's why it'd be hard. Like, where do you go with 3? If Dante were to have his 3, where do you go?
Because hopefully somewhere between the two.
Yeah.
I don't think it needs to be as...
I mean, like, even if he's not directing this, which, okay, I think the mainstream has passed on Joe Dante. Like, I think he's...
Probably.
But if he's involved, or even just gives it a thumbs up, okay. Like, just get him... You have to approach him about it. Even if he's not offered to direct it, jump on with Spielberg as producer, or just give the thumbs up or something. Like,
it would be nice to have those two guys there to kind of...
Because there isn't a Joe Dante right now. There isn't that guy who mixes comedy and horror perfectly. Like, that can do it tongue-in-cheek. I don't think so.
I mean, I'll argue. I think Gunn would be good. I think even Sam Raimi could do it. I think that would be interesting.
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah. I think there are guys that absolutely could do this. The problem is that our horror directors now, you know, Del Toro is doing some horror.
But you know what happens when you become a Joe Dante now, where you're able to do it? You go on and you become Sam Raimi, where you're going to do Spider-Man. You become...
They're doing other things.
You're getting,
sure.
You're getting big studio right. films now, and you don't get to stay Joe Dante like Joe Dante stayed forever.
It's either that or...
But you can always go back. Like, it's not that I wouldn't welcome James Gunn or
Raimi
Sam Raimi.
Went back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it fucking was perfect.
Yeah. Like, right, and it's either guys like that that are trying to come back to the genre, or you've got guys that just don't have the resume built up yet. Like,
I don't want a commercial director or a music video director.
What about your boy Alexander Aja? That could
be
interesting.
Do it.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but he's another guy that maybe doesn't have quite the resume to tackle Gremlins, but I think he could do a good job. I think that we don't have anybody that's like right in the wheelhouse for it. You've got guys that are maybe a little green, but grew up loving Gremlins and loving movies like that. So I think they do awesome. And then you have guys that are maybe too big for it at this point. But I would be interested in definitely more Gremlins, not reboot Gremlins 3, whatever. I guess, I don't know. I guess I'd be willing to go reboot at this point just because it's been so long. It'd be weird to have a 3 all of a sudden. But let us know what you think, if you've got strong feelings one or the other.
We talked about that a lot.
Yeah, we did. But what the hell? This is Gremlins. We all like that. Just a couple quick things to tie up our news section. Paul Dano to play Brian Wilson in Love and Mercy.
I think that's cool. I Brian Wilson's such an interesting character, and Paul Dano is one of the best underappreciated actors out there right now.
To play weird guys too, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like watch the Brian Wilson documentary from a few years ago that was fucking brilliant.
Speaking of weird dudes, Bill Hader, channeling his inner Hoff, signs on to star in Baywatch.
No question what this movie is going to be like.
No question now. No.
Robert Ben-Gurant directing. He just wrote a new draft of the script. And then Bill Hader signs on as the first like non-Baywatch guy to star. So, yeah. Speaking of Baywatch, I'm going to transition into the next segment really slow motion. It's time for trailers.
That's more of a sight gag, but
we haven't done trailers in this year.
Yeah, it's been
been at least a year since we've done trailers. So we got a ton. We've been teasing them. I think the original outline had 18, but we cut some just because they're like, they're about 3 weeks old.
There's still a lot, though.
There's still a lot. First trailer.
Maybe 21?
Not quite 21. Definitely less. First trailer is for 21 and over. It's actually the second trailer for it. The first one, I didn't put it on the outline when it came out because it looks fucking terrible.
The second one, after having put it on the outline, it still looks like shit. It looks like...
It's a traditional fucking cliche, fucking drunk college kids fucking comedy.
Half Hangover, half Asian Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, like it says from the writers of The Hangover. And it, well, they're sticking with what made them money. Like it just looks like a cash-in. The jokes are bad. There are maybe 2 good jokes in the trailer, but not enough to make up for every other joke in the trailer.
Yeah. So, and I liked that kid, too. The kid from Pitch Perfect. He shows up in this, and it's like, ah.
Yeah. This seems like a throwaway. Not a throwaway. One of my favorite directors has directed 2 of my top 3 favorite movies ever. Danny
Gremlins
Boyle.
And Gremlins 2.
Danny Boyle trailer for his new one, Trance, starring James McAvoy.
Kind of thought that this one was a bit like, I like the heist element of it, but it looked like a heist movie and Memento at the same time.
A little bit,
yeah.
But I trust Boyle with that kind of story. Like, I don't need to know everything. I'm glad to see him getting back to this kind of movie. I liked Slumdog. I liked 127 Hours, but those aren't where Boyle...
They're kind of straightforward, linear storytelling, and this isn't.
Yeah, like this isn't going to get him an Oscar. Like these aren't, if he does one of those movies, he gets nominated for an Oscar. This is back to what he is best at. It looks like a combination of everything that he's, I'm not big on McAvoy, but whatever. If Boyle sees it in him, I'm in. Speaking of in 3D, Spiders 3D.
This absolutely is a Sci-Fi Channel movie, and it looks like it's got a $6 CGI budget, and they blew it all on one scene. Holy shit, this looks so bad, but I can't wait to see it.
I don't think it looks as bad as you're making it out to be. That's it.
Okay, I disagree, but watch the trailer and let us know what you think.
I don't think it'll be as good as Arachnophobia.
No, I don't think that it will be as good as
Arachnophobia.
I'm
terrified of spiders, but Arachnophobia is a great movie. Next one. C. Tate's, big old Channing Tatum, stars, his name's in there.
Big old Rooney Mara's forehead.
Yeah, Side Effects.
It's another Soderbergh movie, and it's not quite the same as Contagion. It has a similar formula in that Jude Law's in both the movies. It's kind of an ensemble cast.
It's also kind of like Magic Mike in that Channing Tatum's
in it.
Soderbergh does a million different types of movies. And there are probably 4 kinds of movies that you can look at and say, oh, that looks like a Soderbergh movie. Like, there's this kind where it's like Contagion-y, Side Effects. It's like, oh, that looks like a Steven Soderbergh movie. Then you look at something like Out of Sight that's just like...
Haywire.
Loose. Yeah, or Haywire. It's like, oh, that looks like a Soderbergh movie. Like, the dude is so all over the place.
But I guess they do all have Channing Tatum in them.
Yeah, they did.
Nowadays, if you see C-Tate somewhere, that looks like a Soderbergh movie.
That's like after every movie Soderbergh makes, he's ready to retire. But he was supposed to retire after Magic Mike. I'll see it. I like Soderbergh. Like I don't know that I've hated a Soderbergh movie. Speaking of things I don't hate, occasionally I'll see a trailer and think, yeah, that looks like a Dave movie. The trailer for Dead Man Down, that's a Dave movie if I've ever seen one. Fucking Noomi Rapace, Colin Farrell as a hitman, directed by the director of the original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Noomi Rapace sees him kill a man and then hires her to kill the guy that scarred her face, which is a badass Terrence Howard. Like, it looks fucking awesome.
It looks a bit dragon tattoo-y. And I'm okay tattoo-y? With that. Tattoo-y, yeah. I just did that. For about the first half of the trailer, I had no idea what the fuck was going on. And then it sort of does come together a little bit. So, yeah, that does sound a bit like a Dave movie.
I mean, Terrence Howard looks fucking great. Colin Farrell just... I don't think he gets enough credit for how versatile he is. Like, in this...
Or how much of a badass he is, too.
That's what I mean, how versatile he is. Like, this movie, he looks like a fucking badass. Seven Psychopaths? He's the opposite. Like, he's the straight guy that's like, I don't want to touch guns. Like... And he pulls them both off, and then he does Total Recall. Like, he's good at the fucking... I think he's a big name. I think he's underrated. Like, I love Colin Farrell.
I think he is kind of... People look at him and...
He doesn't do enough acting movies. When he does, he fucking kills them. Like, what was that one called? The Way Back? Destroyed that movie.
In Bruges.
Like, when he wants to act, he does, but that doesn't... That's not what
happen
gets...
often.
That's not what gets released wide and what gets in front of people, so... From in front of people to underneath people, as in the earth. See, we can all do bad segues.
Yes.
The next movie is Aftershock, starring, not directed by, Eli Roth.
Yeah, I fucked that up. I watched this whole thing thinking, oh, this is absolutely Eli Roth's best Ben Affleck, writer and director. And then I find out that he's not directing it. So my next question was, how the fuck did he get cast in this movie?
He produced it. And like,
and that answered my question.
He's just... bad actor. Like, I don't like Eli Roth as an actor. I just don't.
And maybe don't like him as a person.
And it looks like
I don't even met him.
He's like, the movie's kind of on his back. If you take away Eli Roth and you look at the rest of it, kind of into it.
There's some funny deaths, it
like,
appears.
It looks like the fucking, it's about an earthquake. it looks like the earthquake. There's a lot of good Final Destination-esque deaths.
Yeah.
I like that the co-star looks like Daniel Henshaw, but he's not. That kind of made me a little less excited. Like, he looked like the Australian actor Daniel Henshaw, so I looked it up. Not him. So I'm less excited, but he still looks like him. I think I'll watch it.
I am not going to see it in the theater. I might, if somebody puts it down in front of me and I have absolutely no way out of the room, then I guess I'll sit through it.
This one, Ryan dubbed as a Dave movie, because I don't think Ryan understands what Dave movies are.
No, Ryan does understand what Dave movies are, because you said, oh, I thought I put this on here.
I did.
Okay.
The next one is The End of Love, written and directed by Mark Webber. He's shown up in small parts. He kind of headlines this one. Trailer doesn't really let you know what to expect. Looks like a love story.
Yeah.
But there's got to be more to it than that.
Single dad. I believe that's actually his son that plays in the movie. Little tiny kid. Aubrey Plaza's in it.
Michael Cera's in it. I didn't see either of them in the trailer. Or maybe Aubrey Plaza briefly, yeah.
Yeah.
Shannon Sossaman.
Welcome back.
She needs to be back.
Yeah.
She's really good. Like, not only is she fucking charming as hell, she's really good when she gets a chance to be.
So I put this on here because I knew you liked both of those two ladies and would say nice things about them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it. I just like that. I like Mark Webber. I think he's due for something like this because he's not your leading man. He's your best friend.
Yeah, and I don't think that, you know, this is necessarily going to turn him into a leading man.
It's an attempt.
Yeah, it's an attempt. I don't think.
I mean, if
enough
he carries,
people will see it.
If he carries this movie, that shows that he's capable of carrying a movie, especially when you're directing yourself.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if you can't, he wrote it too. I think
he wrote, directed, stars. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but if you he put together
up
an awesome cast.
Yeah,
and the cast he put together, they do good. They make solid choices. Like, they're not just ones that are accepting every script they receive. Speaking of awful, we talked a lot about VHS on this show. There is a new sequel called SVHS, which released a teaser trailer this week at Sundance. Actually, the movie played at Sundance. But, yeah, there's a teaser trailer. It seems like just two episodes ago we were announcing that it was going to be made.
Yeah.
And now it's showing at Sundance.
It's done. Apparently, they shot this on SVHS and edited it tape to tape. I don't really know how you edit on SVHS because I'm that young. But, yeah, it's only like 50 seconds of a teaser. You can't really see shit, which is fine.
It's
from what I understand, this one's far less on the horror, far more on the comedy. I don't know if that's a good idea.
The trailer didn't look it.
No, the trailer didn't. I just, reading a review from someone that had seen it at Sundance, kind of said that they went that direction. Most of the original writers are gone. I think
here's
they kept
the thing.
Two.
I did not like the first one.
I didn't either.
This trailer, this teaser trailer, is pretty much exactly like the teaser trailer for the first one. But I don't see it. Like, it did the same job. I wanted to see VHS after the trailer, after the teaser.
Oh, I was real high on VHS
see this.
After this.
Like,
yeah.
As much as I didn't like it, like, okay. Like, all right.
I'll give it another try. Sure. Come on back, baby.
I mean, it's a formula that you could just keep making. I think the SVHS name is a little of a poor choice. I think it's a little confusing.
I like it. I mean, if most people, I don't think, are going to pick up, oh, VHS, this is another version of VHS. It's the next version of VHS. But I think it's cute.
I can't wait till the third one. Laserdisc.
Yeah. Laserdisc, mini DV. That's coming.
Another one. There's another. The next two are Dave movies. The first one
especially
has the sweetheart of my heart.
One of them.
Starring Britt Marling, written by Britt Marling, directed by the same director as Sound of My Voice.
That guy.
Called The East. Also premiered at Sundance to pretty awesome reviews. It's just a thriller. Similar to Sound of My Voice, plot-wise, but instead of a cult, it's a terrorist group.
Eco-terrorist.
Think Fight Club. Think Project Mayhem.
And think of the scariest son of a bitch to be leading this eco-terrorist group, Ellen Page. Yep.
Yeah. And then instead of being the leader, Britt Marling's the one infiltrating. Well, actually, Alexander Skarsgård is the leader of the...
leader of the terrorist group?
Because
I did not get that impression from the trailer. He wasn't doing any of the talking.
Yeah. Well, no. But Ellen Page has a better threatening voice.
Yeah.
So it's Britt Marling, Ellen Page, Alexander Skarsgård. The cast looks awesome. I think it looks awesome. Maybe I'm biased, but she's 2 for 2 as a writer, as far as I'm concerned.
I just hope it doesn't get as preachy as it looks like it could go. Because I don't have any money. Like, I'm not a big corporation, but I don't want to be lectured for 2 hours about how bad corporations are and how.
Considering how not preachy Sound of My Voice and Another Earth was, I feel they were.
Those ones weren't. You're right.
They had their message, but it was subtle. I didn't feel preached to. And that she's the same. It's the same writer. I don't think she's just going to take that
turn.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, from watching the trailer, I thought, oh boy, I could see where this could be. They could beat this dead horse into the ground.
Upstream from there, a long-awaited movie that I've been waiting for. The next trailer was Upstream Color, directed by Shane Carruth, who did a little movie a few years back called Primer, which is one of the most interesting,
confusing,
fun,
mind fuck.
Yeah, like, it's a great movie, and it's so well acted. And Upstream Color looks similar.
I don't know what the fuck's going on.
There looks like there's something weird going on, but it looks like the acting is fucking top notch.
Those pigs looked scared shitless.
Yes, this also premiered at Sundance, but it's a long time coming. I like Shane Carruth. I like what he did with Primer. I want to see what he does next.
Yeah, it did seem like this is long. What did she say? It was long time, long overdue or something. I don't know. But
I don't listen.
Yeah. For a follow-up, it's been too long. I don't know. I think the people that are I don't think enough people saw Primer, so I don't really think that's going to get...
But I think everybody that's seen Primer, it impacted. It made its mark on.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it did, and they'll be out to see this. I just don't know how many more people... Does this look any more accessible than Primer?
No. No, but it looks awesome. Yeah. I mean, he had a script that he wanted to do, but studios were telling him it would take like a $200 million budget just to realistically do it, so he did this. You know, it's first of the year. You know, it's right around the corner. Spring break, bitches.
Yeah. So, apparently it is. And this trailer for Spring Breakers really drives that point home. It's spring break.
It's a Harmony Korine movie, which everything about this movie I should be on board with. Fucking Selena Gomez, Vanessa Hudgens in bikinis the whole time. James Franco is like a white ghetto dude. All that should have me on board. There's bank robberies. I don't give a fuck.
No, this...
I am not a Harmony Korine fan.
This looks like Sugar and Spice if you were on ecstasy.
It looks like Sugar and Spice written by the guy that wrote Kids.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. And I don't care. I don't like him. It just... Franco looks awesome in it, but I just... You can tell the kind of movie it is. If you're familiar with his work at all, you can tell. Like, it doesn't do anything for me.
No, and some of the rapping gentlemen that are in the movie, I can't say that I know too much of their work. So that's not going to make me.
So my hopes of seeing Selena Gomez and Vanessa Hudgens in a bikini all movie, those hopes have fallen. Much like Olympus. And the new trailer for Olympus Has Fallen, or White House Down, the prequel, or Die Hard 5 in a White House.
Die Hard in the White House.
Yeah. It's exactly like when Olympus Has Fallen and White House Down, they're the two like terrorists in the White House movies that they've been racing to get one out ahead of the other one. Olympus Has Fallen is the one with Aaron Eckhart as the president and Gerard Butler as the dude, the John McClane type character. It's out there first. White House Down as Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx as the president. It looks a lot better than I expected.
It did look cool, but...
Like, it just looks like Die Hard in the White... Because it's literally Die Hard in the White House. Like, yes. I thought the tagline when the script was going around and when all the news, it's just like, oh, it's like Die Hard in the White House. I thought, like, okay, there's terrorists, and then they're trying to... No.
It is the plot of Die Hard.
In the White House. That's all it is.
I wish, this makes me wish that the new Die Hard movie that's coming out was this.
It should be.
Yes, because I want to see, as much as I like Gerard Butler, that's fine. Got no problem with him. But I just wish that was John McClane instead.
It should be.
We get rid of all, include the new Die Hard in these two movies. Get rid of all, meld them together. And instead of it can be John McClane, Channing Tatum can be his son. They can go rescue the president and vice president, Two-Face and Django, and we'll be fine.
Everything about this movie should be terrible. But that part of me that loved Die Hard when I first saw it came out watching this trailer and thought,
your penis?
I kind of want to see that. So, I mean, my hopes are up for Olympus Has Fallen.
I can't say, like, of all these trailers that we've talked about, there's probably not too many that I actually think that I will go see in the theater. This could be one of them, just because I think it'll be a good time.
It'll be fun, I think. So, but yeah, that's like 3 weeks worth of trailers that we've let stack up. Like I said, there were a lot more. There was a couple trailers, Place Beyond the Pines, we cut because it's out for a while. This Is the End. Some movies that showed up on
That was the end for This Is the End.
The movies that showed up on our most anticipated list released trailers like shortly after that release, that episode went up. So a lot of good trailers out there if you don't keep up with it. But yeah, that's trailers for this week and maybe the next few weeks.
Yeah, we might have some other things going on, so trailers might get bumped again, or we've just completely shot our trailer wad. I don't know. Like, stay tuned. Maybe there'll be some more trailers. Maybe not. What we can guarantee you is that there will be some trailers before these movies. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, Movie 43, and Parker, all in wide release this week. Nothing really in limited release. I think there was one movie that was going to be on two screens, so fuck that.
I swore Parker came out this summer.
Nope, it's coming out this week.
Like I swore that Jason Statham movie came. It's a remake, I believe, isn't it? Movie 43 had a lot of good laughs in the trailer. I don't know that it's the kind of movie I'd rush out to the theater to see. I don't think anybody knows enough about the movie to really want to, but the cast, you can't deny.
Right, the cast is what makes you... These are all funny people, so...
And famous people.
Yeah, you got to believe that that movie is going to be funny, but it could also be a dumpster fire.
So I don't know how... And I don't know what it's going to do box office-wise. And then Hansel and Gretel, that's your position to be like the one to beat, but it looks fucking terrible.
You know what? I don't know that it looks as bad as I think it does. Abraham Lincoln has fucked that genre up.
And that was like spearheading the genre.
Yes.
Like it was starting that genre. Well,
I mean, it wasn't starting the genre, but I mean, at least that's left a really terrible taste in my mouth. So I can't go back and see this. As much as I like Jeremy Renner and whatever Bond chick that is.
What's he doing with his voice?
He's doing his Batman thing.
Like, what is up with his voice in that trailer? I don't get it. What are you doing, Jeremy Renner? Like, what the fuck?
Cashing a check. That's what he's doing.
He's been cashing a lot of checks lately, but this one...
More often than not, for good shit.
Yeah. This isn't...
Probably not.
No, and it's like... How many franchises do you want? Like, Infiltrates the MI4, Mission Impossible, Avengers. Like, that's big-time franchises he jumped in. And then, like, this, you know they made this with hopes that it could launch into a series of films.
There's almost nothing gets made now that's not in hopes of launching a series.
This just looks bad.
Yeah, like I said, I think, had I not seen Abraham Lincoln, maybe I would think that this would be okay. And I'd say, oh, that might be a fun way to spend... No, I don't think
that. Like,
it
doesn't even look like... Like, Olympus Has Fallen just looks like dumb fun. This doesn't even look like dumb fun. It just looks dumb.
Dumb, bad, like Van Helsing level type bullshit.
Plus, maybe I'm comparing it to the trailer for Jack the Giant Slayer.
Maybe.
Which looks fucking amazing. And then this, so...
That's coming. That's on the horizon.
I don't even want to do over-under for any of these.
Not even for... You want to do movie 43?
12?
Ah, Christ.
I don't know. I'm going over.
I'll go over too, just because I feel like it's a comedy. I mean, I could see where this could... I think it's got a 50-50 shot at being good. And if it's good, I don't know, maybe not in the first week, it might not make the money. Maybe people will just have to come out and say, oh, yeah, that movie is funny.
I think it's going to have to rely on a lot of...
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth, because people just don't know what it is.
Yeah. The title doesn't help either.
No, so.
So we'll both go over for 12 on movie 43?
Yeah.
So does that put it first place this week?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
If you're not going to go see movie 43 or Parker, if you're not going to take a DeLorean to this summer to watch Parker or Hansel and Gretel, what should the folks watch in the privacy of their own homes?
I got a couple for you. The first one, movie came out on DVD. I believe it came out on DVD today. At least it... became available in a lot more stores today. A movie called The Dead Inside from a director, Travis Betts, who I've talked about, my buddy Ward Roberts that I went to high school with, who directed Dust Up. Dust Up was a Drexel Box Films picture. So is The Dead Inside, because Drexel Box is pretty much just Ward and Travis and their thing. So directed by Travis Betts, who also did Low, which I've spoken highly of on this. So... I haven't watched it yet, but Travis has a very fucked up mind, and he's very creative and visual, so know that going in. You're probably not going to see anything you've seen before. So that's the one that I kind of added last minute. Secondly, movie that I just noticed yesterday was on demand, so I watched it when we talked about trailers, the trailer for a while ago, a little Barry Levinson joint called The Bay. Pretty fucked up and kind of fucking frightening.
I got that impression from the trailer. I was kind of interested in checking that out. It's good that it's on demand, because I'm not... the two that I've got for watch it now are two that are on Netflix. I've not seen either of them. I kind of wanted to see them kind of at different levels. Bernie, the Jack Black flick that he got nominated for Golden Globe.
I've seen that one, yeah.
it's streaming on Netflix, so you can check that out, which I might do. You know, what the hell?
It was okay.
I'm paying for the service. I might as well use it. The other one that I've got, and I hesitate to even say this, but had one of the worst trailers I had ever seen. They made it a little bit better. It's Red Lights.
That was one of the worst movies I saw last year.
Yeah.
It's a really bad movie.
I could see that. But, you know, those two just being on Netflix, I thought I'd give them a try. Maybe don't. Maybe spend the money and check out The Bay.
I'd say Bernie's okay. Red Lights is terrible. But back to The Bay. Watch The Bay and let me know what you think, because it's different. It's found footage done how I like found footage.
It's Contagion done in found footage. And well.
Kind of, but a lot different than Contagion. It's terrifying. It's scarier than a zombie movie because it feels like...
this could happen.
Oh, shit, that could happen. And it's pretty fucking frightening. It's got some cool shit in it. The cast is pretty cool. I mean, probably nobody that you... like, Kristen Connolly from Cabin in the Woods is in there, but there's a bunch of dudes. Mark Denham, or whatever his name is, from Sound of My Voice. Like, there's good actors that you might... they're not really household names, but
Jeff Dunham.
Jeff, that's it. That's it. His sidekick Ahmed. But yeah, it's really good. Let me know what you think of it. I wouldn't say it's really good. It's worth watching, though.
It's probably better than Red Lights, which I'm still gonna end up
way
seeing anyway.
Better than Red Lights.
Shit. I don't know. I feel like I'm pot committed.
I think The Bay's at least worth a watch, whether it's a great movie or not. That's up to you, because I don't think it was the best movie, but it's worth a watch. I felt.
God, we are so standing behind our picks this week.
I'm going to make a comparison, and it's going to be a bad comparison because this movie kind of went under the rug and nobody watched it. It's kind of like The Fourth Kind. The Fourth Kind was done well because it was done differently, and they tried to do it different, and it felt real because of it. The Bay is kind of the same way, where The Bay makes it feel real.
Yeah, no, I fully believe.
And both of those, I'm not going to say either of them.
I believe
like
in aliens
great
now.
Movies, yeah. But they're worth a watch just for stylistically how they're done.
And we've kind of said that the wide releases maybe aren't worth a watch, at least not this week. So spend some time at home with your family and your dogs and watch stuff on demand or Netflix, whatever you prefer. That'll do it for us this week. We may have Dave and I might give you our Oscar picks next week. We're still kind of hashing that out. We're gonna do our overly complicated Oscar pick'em and a slightly less complicated Oscar pick'em.
You have two choices,
right?
Here's how we're doing Oscar pick'ems. For every category, any of them that we mentioned on Oscar preview, I think it was best director, the both writing ones. We'll throw best foreign in there. And then the big
one. Do we
ones.
Really want to do best foreign?
Yes, because it's an easy 10 points.
Okay.
And then just all the big ones, like your best actor supporting, blah, 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 director, film.
All the acting.
Yeah. All those you get 10 points for. Divvy it up how you want. If you want to do 2 points per everybody, you do. If you want to throw all 10 at somebody, that's fine. So you can kind of split it up. Or we'll do, and we're going to do a straight pick 'em. So who you think is going to win.
So if you're boring, you can just do that.
Send them both to us if you want. We're going to end up doing it both ways just to kind of see. So that's it. I know it's overly complicated, but if you have any questions, if you want to play along and don't understand, just hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup. Tweet us at moviesonup or email moviesonup@gmail.com. Or you can even get to me personally on Twitter at Dave Bacella, davebacella.com. And if you're going to stay home, it's cold outside, at least in these parts. If you want to stay in and watch stuff, watch all the movies we suggested. I haven't plugged Juggalo Ohio in a while. It's a Juggalo sitcom I wrote and co-starred in. So
if you're going to sit through Red Lights, you should probably at least watch Juggalo Ohio.
Juggalo Ohio, non-bias aside, is way better than Red Lights. So watch Juggalo Ohio. That's juggaloohio.com or youtube.com/watchjuggaloohio. Facebook.com/juggaloohio. Twitter @juggaloohio. So... that is it for me.
That's pretty much it for me. I think it's it collectively. That's it for us. We'll be back next week with some more Oscar talk. But until next week,
keep it up.